Welcome back to Win Radio Was, and now our weekly visit with Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Enjoy.
Now, Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Although little William Henry is much improved, and she is somewhat relieved in her worry over him, Mary Foster Lord has had a rather strenuous day. Now that the children are safely in bed, she comes into the living room to sit down for a moment of rest. Her father, Henry Foster, looks up from his book and says...
Well, you got a little time to yourself, have you now, Mary?
Yes, I guess so, Dad. Been on the go so much today that it seems as if there's something else I should do, but whatever it is, I'm just not going to do it.
Most likely it's just the accumulated momentum of the day. Mm. You know, I've felt that same way more than once. After I've been on the jump from sunup to sundown, don't seem right to take it easy. But now, just you lean back in that chair and see if you can't relax.
Oh, gosh, what a day this has been.
Yeah.
It's been just about 36 hours long.
I don't wonder, child. I don't wonder at all. You most likely didn't get more than 10 winks of sleep last night over there at the hospital, what with waking up every time the baby moved.
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't, but then that doesn't matter. The main thing is that he's up in his crib tonight. It's wonderful to know that. And also to know that he's over that attack. Oh, but today was pretty hectic, let me tell you. Things just seem to go wrong all the time. That darn Boober.
Who? Bunk Boober?
No, his cousin, the one they call Dynamite.
Oh, he's the slow-moving one of that family. He's quite a character, Dynamite is.
Well, there's nothing slow-moving about him when it comes to kicking about an automobile. We sold him a car last week, and I told him there was a squeak in the springs, and if we could keep the car another day, we could get that squeak out. But he wanted the car then and there, so I told him to bring it back whenever he got around to it, and I'd have it done free of charge. So today he came in kicking his head off. He wouldn't admit that I'd warned him about the squeak. Oh, no. He said I'd sold him the car under false pretenses, and he wanted his money back and $100 besides.
Is that so?
Oh.
Why, that sounds to me like the action of a sharper. Dynamite, he ain't a sharper. Never has been, anyway.
Oh, I finally got him straightened out on the matter. But it took most of the morning.
Well, you know, he's a forgetful cuss. I wouldn't be surprised but what he honestly forgot all about what you'd told him.
Oh, yes, I know he did. But it was very aggravating, just the same. And then things just went like that all day long. It was... Oh, well, I've grumbled enough. I didn't mean to take this out on you, darling.
It ain't bothering me any. Go ahead and grumble all you want to. It relieves the mind. But listen, why don't you go up to bed, Mary? Get a good night's sleep.
Oh, I think I will in a few minutes. But right now, I just want to sit here and do nothing. How things go for you, Dad?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Two things that was most noticeable about the day, as far as I was concerned, was that I missed George Peters like blazes.
Yes, I missed George, too.
Yeah. Never quite realized before how much that feller impresses anybody. Quiet, you know. Never had too much to say, but there's a sense of humor about him. I don't know just what it is, but...
Yeah, you always like to see George.
That's it. That's it, exactly. He was always welcome to have around. I had a few moments of real regret to think that he'd gone down there to New York with Kelsey.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way about it. I told you I think that Bill Nelson doesn't like any part of the idea of George is going to New York.
You mean he thinks he'd do better in a small town?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, there may be something to what Doc says. But, Mary, at the same time, you've got to remember that Doc, he don't like that Jack Kelsey. Ain't got any use for him at all.
Yes, I know,
and
but...
that may have a lot to do with his prejudice against George's leaving.
No, I wouldn't say that it had a lot to do with it, Dad. Although I'll admit that it may have something to do with it. But, no, the real reason is that Bill really doesn't believe George is the type, or rather the person to live in a city.
Well, anyway, before he went, I told him that if he got sick of it, he could always come back.
Jimmy's certainly going to miss him.
Oh, yes. Little fella thinks a lot of him.
And Jerry Dalton's going to miss him, too. Just you wait and see.
I ain't seen much of Jerry lately. She still enjoy her work at Doc's office?
Oh, yes, as far as I know.
Uh-huh. She got over her crush on Doc, has she?
Well, how do I know? But I am pretty sure that she cares more for George than she realizes. And it wouldn't surprise me if someday they were married. Well, what's funny about that?
No. I wasn't thinking of George and Jerry. But your remark about getting married kind of put me in mind of Amelia Parrish and my good printer, Tom Daggett. That was the other most noticeable thing about today. I was just going to tell you that. Amelia and Tom, they've started to make sheep's eyes at each other again.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I happened to go out into the back shop today. And there they was, grinning, kind of sheepish-like at each other, you know. And they was talking about what wonderful weather it is. A couple of pippins they are.
Yes, they certainly are. Every so often they make up to each other with so much formality, and they get along beautifully for a while, and then bang, there's a quarrel, and they don't speak for days.
Yeah. Only trouble is that when Amelia gets into one of them thoughtful spells over Tom, the stuff she writes into the personals of hers, I tell you, that is really something to conjure with.
I know. Like the time she got Sam Pratt's grade A steaks mixed up with the cobbler's leather.
Yeah.
But then we all make mistakes. Excuse me just a minute, Dad. I want to go up and see if William Henry's asleep.
All right.
You're listening to Mary Foster, the editor's daughter, on When Radio Was. We'll be right back. And now let's wrap up this episode of Mary Foster on When Radio Was.
Well, good evening, Amelia. Have a chair and join us. Mary just went upstairs. She'll be right down, I expect.
Well, I ain't going to stop but a minute, Mr. Foster.
You what?
I've been out to the movies with Tom Daggett.
Oh.
Yeah. And then we went and had a soda at the drugstore. Saw an awful lot of people.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah, we had an awful good time.
I gather you did, Amelia.
Mm-hmm. It's dandy time. Mm-hmm. Mr. Foster, what do you think of Tom Daggett?
What do I think of him?
Mm.
Why, I like Tom. I think he's a fine, solid citizen. He's dependable. You can count on him. Yes, sir, I think I'm lucky to have him working out here in the print shop for me.
You like him personally, do you?
Sure thing, I like him personally. Tom and I get along mighty good together. Always have, ever since he's been here.
Well, what do you think of... I mean, what kind of a husband do you think Tom would make?
Husband?
Yeah.
Well, now, that's a question I don't feel I'm qualified to answer, Amelia. I ain't got the least idea what kind of a husband he'd make.
Well, it seems to me you ought to be able to have some idea. That is to say, of course, from a man's viewpoint. Well, you'd know, for instance, how much of a sense of humor he's got, and if he's got to keep smoking that old pipe of his in the house all the time, and things like that.
Well, gracious sakes, I don't see just how that bears on the matter.
Well, it does an awful lot now, I'll tell you. If a man ain't got a sense of humor, and if he's got any bad habits, like pipe smoking all the time in the house, well, he ain't going to make a good husband.
Amelia, if you don't mind my asking a kind of a personal question, are you considering Tom as a husband for yourself?
Well, now, I wouldn't be likely to be considering him as a husband for any other woman, would I?
Blessed if I know, you might.
Well, hardly. Not that Minnie Marvin wouldn't like Tom, though. She just flirts with him something awful every chance she gets. It's outrageous. And one of these days, I'm going to tell that woman just exactly what I think of her.
In other words, you are considering Tom as a husband for yourself, ain't you?
Considering him? Yes.
Yeah. Is he also considering you?
Oh, now, Mr. Foster, land sakes alive. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you this way unless I was pretty sure he was, would I? Well, that's beside the point. The thing is, do you figure Tom would make a good husband?
I don't know.
But you must know.
Well, now, hold on a minute, Amelia. As far as I'm concerned, Tom Daggett is an awful fine fellow. He measured up in almost every way to a good man's man. But I still say that I don't know what kind of a husband he'd make. And what's more, I ain't even going to venture a guess about it.
I can see you ain't going to be any help.
It ain't that I don't want to be helpful, but that's the sort of a thing that no fellow with any sense at all is going to get mixed up into. Because if the couple goes ahead and gets married on the strength of his say-so, or even, mind you, if he just barely hints they'll get along together, and then if they don't get along, why, they're going to cast all the blame onto him.
Oh, now, Mr. Foster, you know very well I wouldn't blame you for anything like that.
No, I ain't committing myself one way or the other. There's only one thing I'll say, and that is, the only way to find out what kind of a husband Tom Daggett would make is to marry him. Then you'll find out.
Didn't you tell me my dear departed Muzzy would make a good husband?
No, I didn't. I didn't tell you nothing of the sort, Amelia. Far, far from it. If you recall correctly, I refused, absolutely, to comment on Muzzy as a potential spouse.
Well, maybe. All right, then. If you won't tell me, you won't. Good night.
Well... You don't have to get mad about it, Amelia.
I ain't mad. Not a bit. Good night.
Oh.
Was that Amelia I heard, Dad?
Yes, yes. She just left. My graces, I never saw such a woman as she is.
Well, what's the matter now? Why didn't she stay and say hello to me?
Oh, it's Tom Daggett again.
Was he here with her?
No. I mean, she's got him in mind again, matrimonially speaking.
Oh.
She was in here to ask my advice about him as a husband. Did I think he'd make a good one? When I refused to express an opinion, she got mad and left.
Well, so we have another romance on our hands.
Either that or else the same one again. I tell you, she is a caution, that woman. She's absolutely a caution. Do you mind answering that telephone, child? You're nearer.
No, not at all. Hello? Yes? Oh, yes, Tom. How are you? I'm fine, thanks. Yes, just a minute. He's here. It's for you, Dad. Tom Daggett.
You don't suppose he wants to ask me what kind of a wife I think Amelia'd make, do you?
I wouldn't be surprised.
George, next thing I know, they'll be calling me Cupid. Hello, Tom. What can I do for you?
Perhaps this time, Amelia and Tom's romance will end in marriage. Although Amelia is always unpredictable, and Tom is stubborn. Did Tom phone Henry to ask Henry's opinion of Amelia as a prospective wife? We'll learn more about this next time. Now, Henry Foster.
Well, sir, speaking of Amelia and Tom, it reminds me that love don't really make the world go round. It just makes the folks so dizzy, it seems if it is. Yeah. Well, see you soon. Bye.
Be sure to listen tomorrow for the next chapter of Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter.
From the late 1940s, that indeed Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter. We'll have another installment at the same time and day on your local radio station next week. I'm Greg Bell, and earlier we had Edgar Berrier in an episode of Broadway's My Beat. And my question? About his film work. He was seen as Lord Banquo in a 1948 big screen production of Shakespeare's Macbeth. Can you name the radio and film legend who played the title character? He also directed the film. I'll have the answer and then wrap up when radio was right after this.
There's no business like show, business like no business I know.
Everything about it is appealing.
SpiritsEntertainment.com presents the very best of the Broadway musicals. 60 showstoppers from the stage and screen featuring songs from South Pacific, The King and I, Annie Get Your Gun, Guys and Dolls, Showboat, Carousel, and many more.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Singing in the rain.
This three CD collection of 60 original recordings from the greatest musicals showcases legendary artists including Fred Astaire, Judy Garland, Gene Kelly, Doris Day, Bing Crosby, Pat Boone, and Ethel Merman, to name just a few.
Put on a happy face, brush off the clouds and cheer up. Put on a happy face.
Order Broadway musicals today at SpiritsEntertainment.com and pay just $19.98 for this three CD set of 60 songs from your favorite musicals. Plus, get a special bonus of reduced shipping by using promo code Broadway77.
Stormy weather.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you.
Go to SpiritsEntertainment.com now to get the very best of Broadway musicals today for only $19.98. Remember promo code Broadway77 to get extra savings on shipping.
Beyond the rainbow, why oh why can't I?
That's Broadway77 at SpiritsEntertainment.com. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a passkey, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to to use online. We also announced a thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, they can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at Visa.com. That's simply Visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the 1948 big screen version of William Shakespeare's Macbeth. I wanted to know who directed that picture and played the title character. The answer is Orson Welles. I'm Greg Bell, and we're done, but hey, remember to visit the website, which is whenradiowas.com. And until next time, I bid you farewell.
When Radio Was is presented by RadioSpirits.com. This is your announcer, Bart Taylor.